Woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert.
Hello and welcome to Sunday Morning Coming Down, episode 68. Part of the Pultab Sports family. I got to start this episode wishing my parents, Roger and Jean, a happy 50th wedding anniversary. Last night, they celebrated out on a boat on Lake Minnetonka with their friends and family. 50 years married. That is no joke. So congratulations to you guys. We love you. I guess I got to start just by saying I am in Starbuck, Minnesota, recording. I'm in the cottage. High likelihood of shenanigans, people walking in on me, dogs barking, you know, who's in there? Who is that? Who's that? Who is that? What's going on? I mean, anything could happen. I'm out in the open. The odds of getting through this 30 minutes clean, very low. Best case scenario, maybe the only interruption is my wife walking me back a hot dog from the Dairy Queen. That would be pretty cool, hearing the screen door slide and knowing that I was just handed a Dairy Queen hot dog that she retrieved on foot. I do want you to know that I played in a golf scramble yesterday. And in my group, the woman driving our cart was a pig farmer. She's currently going to be a math teacher, but she was a pig farmer. And this family, they live kind of in Benson, Minnesota on a farm. And they've got a Field of Dreams baseball park. So they've literally cut a baseball park out of some corn. And it's a bunch of, it's five kids, three daughters, two sons. And I made a move. I saw the scramble sheet, and I was in a group with four guys. And every other group was co-ed. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't want to be in a scramble with four dudes, like the sausage party group. That seems lame. Traded myself away, got into this group with this badass, so I had just a killer group. What a weird group. We had a 12-year-old, a 7-year-old. We had the pig farmer math teacher that can hit the ball further than me. We got Deanna on the music with an absolutely unbelievable playlist that's a mile long and a mile wide. And we were even par. So even par with two kids under 12 is pretty good. But here's what I bring this up for. There is something when you play in a scramble. And this is just a moment I want to just put into your mind. If you get nothing else from this podcast, it will be this. When you golf in a scramble and you hit best ball and the one ball is the best one and you retrieve all the other balls, is there anything better than having your cart develop the chemistry of the ball pickup? So if anyone's done this before, you do not pick a ball. You do not drive by it and reach your hand and just snag it. You get going. You let your fingers roll in the grass for a few yards, and then you scoop it. And when you have rhythm, if you want to know if you're going to win a scramble, ask yourself how many times you had to stop the golf cart and go back and get a ball because someone dropped it or someone didn't drive at the right angle. And yesterday, man, our team chemistry was on fire. We could have ran a water ski course of golf balls. You could have dropped 14 golf balls on the fairway at impossible angles. And Emily and I could have ran that course scooping balls, fingers in the grass, waiting for it, got it. Every time I did it, I pretended I didn't get it. 7-year-old Nolan, he thought that was super funny. I don't think he did, but then I would hand him the ball. So that little moment, At some point in my life, I'm going to turn that moment into a commercial. The hand dragging outside the cart to scoop up the scramble ball. The non-best ball is still one of the best balls. I also officiated a wedding this week. If you haven't done this, it's awesome. So many moons ago, I went online. One of my clients asked me to officiate her wedding. And I thought she was joking. She asked me once, and I was like, we were drinking, and I just kind of laughed. And then it was like getting close to the wedding, and she's like, so are you ready? You know, we're doing it in Aspen. You got to meet me at the courthouse. You got to have your papers. I was like, what? I thought you were joking. She's like, no. So I had to figure this thing out. I interviewed a bunch of people in the family, the bride and the groom. I sprung for the, when you become an internet pastor, I don't know if that's the right term, but when you get your officiating certificate from the internet, I think it's called Whole Life Church or something is what mine's from. I sprung for like the $200 one. So I have a clergy pin. I have a parking pass that says clergy. I have multiple certificates, a folder. It is awesome. And I did one wedding in Aspen. I did another one in Minneapolis, a coworker buddy of mine. And then I renewed during quarantine, during COVID, I did a vow renewal for a buddy. And when we did that, because it was on this Zoom call and it was lame, I bought a Pope outfit online, and I wore the Pope outfit when I did that. Some of you remember that story. But so when this couple asked me to do it, I met them at the courthouse first because we got the papers done before the ceremony. I wore the Pope outfit. The judge was this amazingly cool woman, and she opens the door and just looks at me and goes, well, this isn't the worst we've ever had. We had some Lady Gaga fans come in here and get married, and they were in all of her different outfits, including the meat suit. And I kind of turned to the bride and groom. I'm like, I don't know if that's great that she said this isn't the worst we've ever had. But they loved it, wore the suit. I had to do kind of an impromptu ceremony in the courthouse, and I couldn't remember the phrase. I think it's lawfully wedded wife and lawfully wedded husband. So I locked up, and I think I called her a lovely wedded wife and him a wonderful wedded husband, like I'm Elmer Fudd marrying you in a Pope outfit. But the ceremony itself was awesome. Some good friends of theirs had a beautiful lake place on Minnetonka, one of these places where there's multiple football fields to walk down to the water, and they kind of set me up on the water, and I got to do it. And I would encourage you, this is the way weddings are going to go. They're going to become more personal, more special. And if you can do this, if anybody ever asks you to do it, or if you're a young person thinking about getting married and you have a friend that you think could do this, it's pretty cool. And the only tip I'd give you is, a lot of times when people do it, they're like, even the couple I just married, the groom was like, 5 minutes, you know, 5 minutes, super chill. And I was like, no, it can't be that short. You got to have the grandpas and the grandmas got to be happy. They got to think it's long enough to be respectful. And for the young kids, it's got to be creative and personal enough to be interesting. Why did you have this guy do it, right? So I love interviewing people and doing that. Their line as a couple, this is what I built my speech around, was we vibrate on the same frequency. Man, with a line like that, Red Cooler Ronnie should have officiated this wedding. I didn't need anything else besides that sentence. So that was pretty cool. Congratulations to the couple. I got to talk about Jay Hilburn. I had a good week with Jay Hilburn. I got two new shirts arrived. I'm going to put those online. I got my parents' anniversary boat ride tonight, so I'll probably wear my Jay Hilburn tonight. I would certainly think so. And I know you guys are curious. I know it. I know there's a handful of you out there going, you know what? I don't get excited when I look in my closet. I don't dress poorly, but I certainly am not exciting my wife with my wardrobe. I don't have anything I look in there and get excited to wear. and I could definitely take it up a notch. And I get to tell people I have a stylist. It's like having a butler or a driver or a chef. You have a stylist. So I'm going to put the pictures of these two new shirts online on Sunday Morning Coming Down Pod on Instagram. If you don't go to that, you should, because I put a bunch of goofy stuff up there that kind of fills in this audio experience. It gives you the children's book to page through for each episode. But all you got to do is tag one of these Jay Hilburn posts. You could just be like, I'm listening, dot, 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 or, you know, tell me more, honey, and we will seek you out. We will close the loop with you if you have any curiosity about dressing better, feeling better, looking better. It's pretty awesome. I'm excited to wear these two new shirts I have. I did bust out my Jay Hilburn at these business meetings I went to in New York with one of our clients this week. So check out Jay Hilburn. Let the compliments begin. A couple other things I want to talk about. You know, at this wedding, it should be noted, they hired these two bartenders. So my theory on why I was asked to officiate, I told the bride and groom this, so this is not speaking out of school. It was during COVID that plans started to come together. And I think they thought, you know what? We want John and Stacy to come to the wedding, but it's going to be super small. Maybe they're one ring out. I'm going to have him officiate. I'm going to have these guys bartend. We'll get everybody on the boat and we'll roll. Well, these bartenders, Gino and his son, they call him Wheels. This kid, they call him Wayland, but it's spelt W-E-I-L-A-N-D because he was named after Scott Wayland from Stone Temple Pilots. I'm going to put a video of him on Instagram. So anybody who doesn't do the Instagram, you need to check this video out. They were both dressed like Green Day meets the Joker from a Batman video. The long hair, the hockey teeth. I mean, they might have dimples. I feel like they had dimples. I don't know for sure. Kind of ties and different colored patterns on their shirts and shorts. Like the Warped Tour. Like whenever the Warped Tour was at its apex, these two bartenders could have easily worked it. So I mentioned I'm up here in Starbuck. I landed from New York. I thought I was going to land about 11. It takes 2 hours and 15 minutes to get to Starbuck. I land at 10. I had sent my bags standby, so they were already on the ground. So when I land, I am gone. I am in the truck. And it's only 10 o'clock. It takes 2 hours 15 to get here. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to surprise them. I just haul ass to the cabin. You know, I don't even stop for tobacco, nothing. I am just flying to the cabin. I'm getting giddy because I'm like, oh my God, they're going to call me about 11 p.m. Maybe they're playing the garage game. Where are you? I might give them a head fake. Oh, you know, late night, blah, blah, blah. And then boom. I pull in at 12:15. They're cooking pizzas in the kitchen. Everybody's, oh my God, you're here, father, husband. They're hugging me. We're eating pizza. I maybe have 2, 3, 4 seltzers. Maybe stay up till 1:30. Listen to some tunes. Awesome job, Dad, getting here. What a bonus having you make it. This is what it looked like for me. I get here at 12:15. The entire house is pitch black. My dog is barking. I walk in. Regan sees me for a second, realizes it's me, goes back to the bed. Grandma's there. She says hello. It's completely dark. I put my phone light on and I walk up the stairs. And just as I get over the top stair, my phone light illuminates Penny, the scary-ass doll. She's just sitting against the wall, so that's cool. Then I come into the guest room, and my son, unfortunately, is above the covers, and I'm not sure exactly what he sleeps in, but there was a lot of hair and maybe a crack. So that was interesting way to be greeted. And then I just went into the bedroom and went to sleep. So not exactly how I thought it was going to go down with the early arrival, but that's just how it goes. When I was in New York, I'm not a guy. There's so many guys when they go golfing, they walk into a pro shop and it is like they are a kid at KB Toy looking through the triple pack baseball cards when we were growing up. And they just have to buy a golf shirt. Every single time they go into a pro shop, they have to buy a golf shirt. One of my brothers is this way, and it is very common. I am not that way. I never buy anything. But for some reason, I'm in this store, this country club, and they have this shirt. It is like Andre Agassi's shoes when he first came out with Nike and said, "There goes the country club," kind of teal, orange, dreamsicle. And so I bought this golf shirt, which I'm going to refer to as the dreamsicle from now on. And I want you to know, when you're thinking of your wardrobe, you should have items that you could name like a guitar. You know, I have the Age of Aquarius, I have the Rooster, I have the Flower Power, and now I have the Dreamsicle. I only mention this to you, this is not another ad, I mention it to you because there's this phrase that people say to me all the time. So I tried on the Dreamsicle and I went upstairs because I knew it fit me good, but I was so excited I wanted the other guys to see it. So I went upstairs, I was like, yeah, you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Look at this. Holy buckets. Me in the Dreamsicle? Come on. And one of the guys says to me, I don't think I could pull that off. Okay? Now that sentence, I don't think I could pull that off. What I hear when people say that is, I belong in a boring box wrapped in bubble wrap. I belong in a boring box wrapped in bubble wrap. That's not actually true, because if you really, you would never come up with something that interesting or with that much alliteration as I belong in a boring box wrapped in bubble wrap. But there is no one in the world that can't pull off something or can't try. Or even if it's a complete record scratch disaster that you roll in, you know, you've been a conservative bean counter your entire life, you've never spoken out of school, and you pop in to your Rotary Club meeting wearing the Dreamsicle, no damage, brother. Maybe they think you're having a midlife crisis. Maybe they think you've gotten into some sort of drugs. I mean, it's fun. Put yourself out there. So if you ever say I don't think I could pull that off, well, find a way to pull it off, and at least try it. The first rule of pulling it off is being willing to dive off the stage. So try it. New York trip was great, absolutely great trip. These clients are really a nice blend of work and friendship. I got to go to the Sky Club. By the way, the Sky Club rules. I think I would join the Sky Club even if I flew three times a year. To go into a secret club in an airport and eat breakfast sandwiches, and like, people don't really wear their masks in there. It's like a whole different world of, like, it is. I like a Sky Club better than a country club. These people are all coming and going. Who are you? You're interesting. Why are you talking so loud on the phone? You know, it is awesome. It is like a secret. The Sky Club's, I guess, as close as you can get to pulling a book off of a bookshelf and the wall spins. It's basically the airport version of that. I love me some Sky Club. I don't know if the Sky Club costs $400 or $600 or $800 a year, something like that, but treat yourself at some point. Get into the Sky Club with a buddy or buy it yourself. It's awesome. I you know, it's funny. I go to a lot of country clubs, but I've never been a member of a country club, probably because I have about a 30 handicap. That might be part of it. I can regularly get an 8 or a 9 on a hole. I can shoot 112 for 18. That's maybe a reason not to have a $30,000 downstroke joining a country club. That's one of the reasons. The other reason is tucking in shirts, being forced to tuck in your shirts, but you get called Mr., but you have a locker. But this country club out in New York, it's called Fenway. And they got this guy that runs the locker room named David, cool guy. And they, one of the things they do there is they clean your shoes when you're golfing. But how about I roll into Fenway in these white Birks, white Birkenstocks, your best Brazilian drug lord look as a Minnesotan if you get tan enough, which we do. But mine are just really beat up and dirty. This guy, while I was golfing, made my white Birks look brand new. Yeah, I'll post a picture on Instagram. I know you're clamoring for it. How weird is that? Did he go buy a magic eraser? What did that look like? Did he just paint them white while I was golfing? No idea, but I also shower after I play this club. Now, I don't have a change of clothes, so it's a little gross because, like, I have to shower and then kind of convince myself that the wetness I feel on the clothes I'm putting back on is from the shower and hope it all blends together and somehow the sweat becomes soap. I don't know. They just switched the gas station here in Starbuck to Casey's. And Casey's is known for their food. And I had the pleasure of having a breakfast pizza slice. I guess they're known for their sandwiches and their pizza. Breakfast pizza is just an amazing invention, and this slice of breakfast pizza, bacon flavored, was amazing. So I'm going to say it. Casey's might have great food. I got to try the subs. My son is trying the subs on his way out of town tonight. So I hope, I really hope that it's as good as the breakfast pizza was. And it might be. I don't know. I hope it is. But check out Casey's if you're ever in a town. I'm going to play a question I'm pretty excited about. It's kind of an interesting question. And it's going to come on. It comes from out east. Somebody I know that's a good Minnesotan, but she has been spending a lot of time out east for many, many years.
Hey, John. One of the things I really appreciate about your podcast is your perspective on Midwestern values or Minnesota values. I wonder if you can talk about what you missed most, which Midwestern values you missed most living on the East Coast.
Ironically, that's Hollywood. That's what we call her. That's Hollywood asking a question about the East Coast and the Midwest. So this is a bit of a trick question. I think what people expect me to say is that the Midwest has Midwestern values, and they you know, this kind of harvest and hard work, and that the people in the Midwest are nicer. And as a matter of fact, I don't believe that to be true. You know, when I lived in New York, it was a grind, man. If you're gonna even survive in New York, you got to get up every day and try to beat the hell out of New York, and New York's going to beat you most days, and you have to keep getting up. It is some Rocky Balboa stuff. You are just getting pounded, and anything can happen. And so, I mean, people in Manhattan are working just as hard as, you know, Laura Ingalls' pop on the farm. But it's just a different type of grind. So that's not my answer. What I love about the Midwest is pace, perspective, and what I'm going to call country music context, or even country mouse. So pace. You know, it's funny, when I did the hockey hair videos for all these years, everybody thinks I'm talking slow or I'm doing a bit. I'm trying to be on some sort of Minnesota pace. But that's just how I talk. It's how I walk. And I do like the pace of the Midwest. I like that it's a little slower. You know, I get absolutely electrified by Manhattan, don't get me wrong, jumping into that. You're like an alligator lying in the sun getting recharged. But there is something real nice about the stroll of the Midwest. I also like the perspective of the Midwest. And what I mean by that is when I was in New York, a lot of times it's who are you? What do you do? You know, where do you live? Who do you know? What do you make? So that whole thing comes out pretty early as you're talking to people. And I think the work-life balance thing is sort of ingrained into the Midwest in the sense that there's this phrase that I think it's a hockey phrase, but I think you can apply it to life, which is we all end up in the beer league someday. What that means is whether you're a parent losing your mind because your kid made peewee single A instead of double A, or you're an NHLer making millions, we all end up in the beer league someday. We all end up playing on a Tuesday night, getting a beer afterwards, seeing the guys once a week. You know, how you doing? Your family good? You okay? You healthy? How are the kids? And I think that the Midwest has its hand on that. It's part of the reason I always loved the movie Beautiful Girls with Matt Dillon. That scene with Michael Rapaport when they leave town. Finally, the guy that's coming to town, he leaves, and Michael Rapaport's walking down the street, and he says, "We'll be right here in the ridge where you left us. Nothing changes in the ridge but the seasons." And the big city guy drives away, and the other guy rolls up to him and says, stay cool forever. I don't know. I think, you know, I guess we're the flyover states. So maybe because we're the flyover states, if you're here, you got 2 feet on the ground. As Red Cooler Ronnie would say. And when I say country music context, what I mean is, you know, chicken fried, cold beer on a Friday night. There is that country mouse aspect, you know. In the last month, I've cleaned a fish. I've golfed a scramble at a family reunion. I've driven a pontoon. I've been at a meat raffle. I've played pull tabs. I've bought a salad bar to go. I've cooked pizzas in a pizza oven in a kitchen that we made ourselves. I've smoked a backwoods cigar. I've had chew on a pontoon so that I don't drink as much. I've jumped in the water in a lake because it was Sunday scaries and my buddy reminded me that nothing makes you feel better than that baptism of lake water. So yeah, country mouse, country music context, perspective, and pace. That is it. It's not nicer people. Believe me, try moving to Minnesota and breaking in. Good luck. Enjoy the passive aggressiveness. I used to always say, I got enough friends, I'm not looking for many more. I've changed my tune on that, but so that's what I think it is. It just things move a little bit slower here. There's maybe a little more perspective because we look at things a little bit differently. And you get to be a country mouse in Minnesota. You're able to be city mouse and country mouse. Although I will tell you, working in Minneapolis for 20 years, thinking I was a gunner. Yeah, go try sitting in New York. Even my clients, I was giving them a hard time. They were on the golf course, AirPods in, and to listen to some of these guys on the phone. You know, no, that's not what I said. Yeah, no, we can buy the company if we want to, but I'm not sure that's the right move. While they're hitting a 7-iron, and I'm like, holy hell, are these some alphas, you know? So if you think we have a Midwestern work ethic, You'll feel like Crocodile Dundee in a hurry when you land in Manhattan trying to make your way in the world today. So I don't think that's fair to the Midwest. I think it's much more about pace, perspective, and country music context. Thank you very much for that question, because it reminds me, you know, it's if you got too much head on your beer, rub the side of your nose, stick your finger in there, and make it go down. You know, that's what I mean about perspective. There's a bit of dem dare. You know, when I first went to school in Boston, I remember saying, "Hey, we're going to go up and eat in the cafeteria if you want to come with." And everybody looked at me like, because I guess they don't end sentences that way. They don't end sentences on a preposition. They don't say "come with." You would say "come with me." So I learned in a hurry. But I, in some ways, as a matter of fact, I may title this episode "Come With," because I think that in so many ways says exactly what I'm talking about. I guess you know, I got to mention Willie Anderson, insurance. Now is a good time, you know, to rethink your insurance if you haven't done it a while, and kind of look at it, look at what you have, and make sure you have the right stuff. And more importantly, you have the right person. It shouldn't be the kid you went to high school with 20 years ago. It shouldn't be your ex-boyfriend's mother. Switch to Willie Anderson. He's going to answer his phone. He's going to save you money, and he's going to explain insurance to you like he's reading you a children's book. And that children's book is not Goodnight Moon, because that would mean he would be selling life insurance, I think. And as best I can tell, he does not do that. But Willie is outstanding. I've been with him a while. He's a sensitive dude, and he's also a guy who gets stuff done. So, you know, what's not to like? For my drinking story, I think I got to just say, I'm just going to give you a little glimpse of officiating this wedding. You know, the second I'm done, I'm relaxed. I know that I get to Uber home. I'm off the clock. I'm getting a couple compliments on the service. I get the Pope hat on. So the groom says, "Hey, you shouldn't wear the Pope hat when you officiate. Wear your red kind of gown." But after, you know, when we're partying, I want that Pope hat on. And so I'm wearing that around. I'm drinking. There's a bunch of hockey people. It's super fun. It's super hot. All the kids are in the pool. And I'm feeling pretty good about myself, because a lot of people are telling me they thought I did a good job on the service. And then I see this, like, 12-year-old kid. And this kid might as well, he could have been me when I was 12. I mean, he looked like I looked back then. He's got a smirk on his face. He's walking around me. I think I'm still wearing the Pope hat. And he's kind of sizing me up. He's looking at me, smirking. And he finally gets the guts to come up to me, and he says, "Hey, where'd they get you? Craigslist?" And he just starts laughing his ass off and walks away. And I'm like, wow. Well, and I actually walked out. I found him. I went back and found him, and I shook his hand. I go, "Wow, nice. How old are you?" 12. That, you got a sense of humor, young man. You just go up to the internet Pope when he is feeling good. I am halfway to the Vatican after my 25-minute performance, and you just, "Hey, check yourself. Where'd they get you? Craigslist?" Oh, you gotta love it. You gotta love it. Well, we're having a good time here on Sunday morning coming down. I hope you all want to come with. Get it.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Shade of a Georgia pine, and that's home, you know. Sweet tea, pecan pie, homemade wine, where the peaches grow. In my house, it's not much to talk about, but it's filled with love that's grown in southern ground, and a little bit of chicken fried. Cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right.